You find that they were toiling in rowing. That's how Mark puts it. Toiling in rowing, which would certainly mean that they were laboring hard at the oars, but making absolutely no progress. Sometimes we feel like that in church work as well. We seem to be laboring hard at the oars and seeking ways and means of pushing the work of the church forward. But the wind is contrary. And how do we advance? Well, of course, there is a great answer in this account when the Lord comes and he answers every need, stills the storm, and so on. But what I find really remarkable about this account is that only Matthew brings up the issue of Peter walking on the water. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and today we're looking at Peter walking on water. That's our main message. We have a hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And we'll close with Walking Over the Niagara. That's a more recent story, but a great lesson concerning faith. Let me just begin with a word on one of the Beatitudes where the Lord Jesus said, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Beatitudes could be the New Testament man. He is the new man, and these are tests of the character of the man who is converted and made godly by the power of the gospel. And so these Beatitudes really are a measuring stick. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the Westminster preacher in England, said, The Christian gospel places all its primary emphasis upon being rather than doing. The gospel puts a great weight upon our attitude rather than upon our actions. And A.P. Stanley in the Sermon Bible Commentary said, The Beatitudes open that discourse which has always been recognized as the most important part of the New Testament. It has really been called the Magna Carta of Christianity. The Beatitudes put before us what are those qualities and what are those results which alone Christ, the founder of our religion, regarded as of supreme excellence. And, of course, often in revivals and in confessions on our deathbeds, people ask us, Are you happy? Are you saved? And, of course, the Lord Jesus gives us the answer. Yes, I'm happy. I'm saved. I have that happiness which, whether rich or poor, can be found only in knowing the Lord Jesus and the grace of the gospel that's found in him. And I hope that you today will search your heart and ask, Am I a Christian? Am I saved? Have I got peace with God? Do I meet this criteria? So let's begin our program now with our hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross?
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to to speak his name? Are then the foes for me to face? Must I not stand the flood? Is this the world a friend to grace, to help me unto God?
Right, we're coming to this passage, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Right down to 33, and really the whole event is our text this evening. The whole event of the disciples out on the boat, out on the sea, and the wind goes up, the wind becomes very boisterous, and the waves are choppy, and when you read Mark's account, you find that they were toiling in rowing. That's how Mark puts it. Toiling in rowing, which would certainly mean that they were laboring hard at the oars, but making absolutely no progress. Sometimes we feel like that in church work as well. We seem to be laboring hard at the oars and seeking ways and means of pushing the work of the church forward. But the wind is contrary. And how do we advance? Well, of course, there is a great answer in this account when the Lord comes and he answers every need, stills the storm, and so on. But what I find really remarkable about this account is that only Matthew brings up the issue of Peter walking on the water. When you read Mark's account and John's account, they don't even mention Peter walking on the water. And I don't know why, but it is quite something when you think of what Peter did when he stepped out of the boat attempting to do what Jesus did. And you know, that's what a Christian is. We are to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. We are to attempt to do those things that he did. And that's the life of faith. And some people are very hard on Peter. And they would say, well, you know, there he goes again, the impetuous Peter. He just wants to do his own thing. And he jumps out of the boat and goes to the Lord on the water. Well, I think if we take a close look at this, we will see that Peter was cautious. He was cautious. And we will take a look at that here this evening. But firstly, let's just bow in prayer, ask for the Lord to meet with us and bless us from his word. Our Father, we are thankful tonight for gathering us here to meet with thee in prayer and in the preaching of your word. And we just marvel at these wonderful accounts in the scriptures of the miracles of our Lord Jesus and the great things that you were enabled your disciples to do. And we think of Peter walking on the water. What a marvel. Lord, you have called us to do the impossible. You have called us to defy the odds and to labor at the work of building your church. And Lord, we confess that we are very much like these disciples in the boat, rowing and rowing, making no progress. And Lord, we need thee to come. We need thee to come to us and still the storm and bring the vessel to the shore. And we pray that it will please thee to teach us from your word tonight and to work in power in our own hearts and in the life of our church. We pray that we may not be slothful, but that we may be busy, that we may be active, doing the will of the Lord with all our hearts, and that glory and honor will be to thy great and wonderful name. So meet with us now around your word and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, Peter stands for some criticism for his typical petulance. He's the only one that tried to step out of the boat and walk to the Lord. But I think that's a good thing. I think that that's something that's commendable. And he didn't even wait until the others would join him. He didn't say to the other disciples, hey guys, let's all just get out and walk on the water to the Lord Jesus. The other way that he was cautious was that he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. He didn't presume, and he said to the Lord, would you be pleased that I might walk out to you? You'll find that in verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And then the Lord Jesus said, come. And so he had the Lord's permission. He was not acting in a rebellious way. He was not acting in some presumptuous way. But he was seeking the Lord's instruction and the Lord's guidance. And I think there's a great lesson for us all in the Lord's work. That if we are to do something, that especially if it's a little out of the normal, the usual, that we would have the Lord's word on it. That we would have his consent and invitation as to Peter here, come. Now, you'll notice that he said, bid me come. He didn't speak for the others. He didn't insist that they would do this very daring deed as he was seeking to do. He let them answer for themselves. And sometimes we have to do that too as Christians. We cannot assume that what God is leading us to do, that he's going to lead the whole group to do. And there are paths and walks and decisions that we must take that are very particular and personal, just to us. Not everybody is called to a particular work. But here is Peter saying, Lord, bid me come unto thee in the water. So the Lord gave him permission. And of course, when he began to sink, the Lord helped him. And so the Lord didn't turn his back on him and leave Peter to his own devices. The Lord certainly stepped up and helped Peter when he was beginning to sink. And then the Lord had a little talk with him. Wherefore didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith? And this incident of Peter walking on water is really a vital story about faith. Christianity is a supernatural work. And as soon as faith diminishes, so does everything else. Just like Peter walking on the water. And the moment that he took his eyes off the Lord and he looked at the circumstances, the wind and the waves, then he began to sink. And you and I are called to walk by faith, to ever always keep our eyes on the Lord. And the moment we take our eyes off the Lord, we sink or stumble. We grow faint. Lack of faith will mean powerlessness. You'll notice here, O thou of little faith, the Lord Jesus said to him. Now, I think Peter had great faith. I think that the very idea of him getting out of the boat, now this is way before the storm was calmed. It wasn't until later that the Lord got into the boat and he calmed the storm. This is while the storm was raging. Peter said, Lord, bid me to come unto thee and walk in the water. I think that was great faith, but his faith stammered. It faltered along the way. And his eye on the circumstances began to greatly trouble him. Wherever God works, he works in measure to the faith of his people. What a great challenge that is to us tonight. We are moral beings. We are created in God's image. We are responsible for our actions. And indeed, we are responsible for exercising faith. What we do with God's word, what we do with his promises, what we do with the gospel, all of this is very important. We read of Abraham that he went out by faith. He is in the hall of Hebrews 11, that hall of faith, because he staggered not at the promises of God. And that tells us that there is a danger that we sort of lose some of that boldness of faith. The Lord Jesus also said in another occasion, according to your faith, be it unto you. One of the key characteristics of men who serve God, and if you look in Acts chapter 6 for deacons, they were to be men full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And so we will not serve the Lord very well if our faith is little. And we know that Stephen's testimony was mighty through persecution. Stephen, you read of him in Acts 6, one of those deacons, and how he was appointed, but he was also persecuted. But what strong faith he had right on to the end. So tonight, I want us to look at what is this power of faith? What is this power in the grace of faith? Now, I've got 7 points. You may say, where did you get all those? Well, I'm going to give you full disclosure tonight. I preached this sermon 4 years ago, January 2010, right here in this pulpit. And the last couple of days, I did not have the mental will or power to come up with a sermon from scratch. And I felt it better to go to something that I have already done the work on and that I could glean from. And I have to say that as I looked over these notes, I became greatly convicted that my own faith is very small, that it's easy to set out and then to stumble. But these 7 points we have here tonight, I want to go through them and I won't belabor them. Firstly, it is this faith is to seek all our strength in the Lord. Where faith is strong, we are reliant on the Lord's power. Now think of Peter walking on the water. It was certainly true of him. And when his eyes were on the Lord and he was depending on the Lord, then he was able to walk the walk. But unbelief causes us to stumble and change. When Peter saw the water boisterous, you can see his body sinking down. And what panic must have hit him. What a serious situation he was in when he was losing his faith. He had begun something that he couldn't finish. And you know, that's the scariest thing in God's service, to start something that you're not able to finish. And that's why we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And by getting our eyes on the Lord, we see things differently. Caleb and Joshua, when they went into the promised land, they looked through the eyes of God and they saw grasshoppers. The other Israelites, they looked through their own eyes and they saw giants. It makes all the difference. And so we see the need. Now, this obviously is the secret of Christian living. Otherwise, you and I will be no different from the unconverted and the ungodly. They're depending on their own strength. They're depending on their own capacities, their decision and mental powers, and following various human advice and so on. But a Christian is not walking by sight, but by faith. And it ought to make all the difference. Now, here's a question. How do you define in real everyday terms what it means to be looking unto Jesus? How do we look unto Jesus in our everyday walk? Tomorrow is Monday. You face the world. You go back to work. You go through all the challenges of living the Christian life. How do you do it? How do you keep your eyes on the Lord? Well, there's a number of things that we need to believe in. We need to believe in his deity. We serve one who is God. We believe in the attributes of Godhead. He is omnipresent. He's always with us. And what a difference that makes. When you go to work tomorrow, God is as much with you in the workplace as he is in the church sanctuary. His presence goes with you. You believe in his power. And while we look for God's power in the work of his church, you look for God's power in your everyday life, in all those practical aspects of life. You believe in his grace and tender mercies when you fail. And just like when Peter was sinking and he cried out, "Lord, help!" The Lord stretched out his hand and pulled Peter up from sinking. How many times do we need the Lord to pull us up and to deliver us from our sinking situation? And of course, the Lord promises to go before you in every situation of life. And the Lord is promised that he will be alongside us. Now let's move to the second one. Faith gives the glory to God for things accomplished. That's the next definition or grace of this kind of faith. It gives the glory to God for things accomplished. And you might ask, why did the Lord Jesus allow Peter to sink? Why in this situation did Peter have to experience that sinking? Not just a sinking feeling, but a sinking down into the depths of the water, feeling its dangers and all its demands. Well, the answer is that the Lord will receive all the glory. Peter was not going to be allowed to think that his walking on the water was going to be due to his skill or to his own ability. He might have boasted. He might have returned to the ship and he would have said to the other disciples, "Hey, fellas, did you see that? I could walk on the water just the way the Lord Jesus did." But these disciples now were saying, "Hey, Peter, we saw you sinking. We saw you floundering down into those waves and we thought you were going to be lost. And then we saw the Lord pull you up." And that's the testimony that the Lord would have every one of us bear before the world. Faith is the means by which God can use his servants, by which God gets the glory. And that's always God's way. Now, I have two examples of this. One is Abraham, the other is Mary. And we read in Romans 4:20 that Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. And that's how we can prove this. This is when it's genuine. The other example is Mary. When it was announced to her that she was going to have a child, to be the mother of the Savior, she said, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." She burst into praise unto the Lord. Now, would you be blessed of God? Then you need faith. You need this strong faith. You need to believe more and you need to doubt less. And you need to labor in the fullness of faith that will give the glory and honor to the Lord. And you will not even want to assume it was your own working. You will not even dare to say, "I did it by my own strength." But when you're working by faith, you are giving all the glory to God. Now, are we doing that?
Thank you for being a part of our program here today. May the Lord minister to your own heart. Here's a story about faith. Years ago, a strong wire was stretched across Niagara River, just above the Roaring Falls. It was announced that a tightrope walker would walk on that suspended wire from the American to the Canadian side. The thrilling moment for the death-defying feat arrived. Great crowds watched with wide-eyed wonderment as the man performed with calm deliberateness the awful stunt. The people cheered wildly. Then the performer did an even more daring thing. He began to push a wheelbarrow with a grooved wheel across the suspended wire. At the conclusion of this breathtaking performance, thunderous applause went up. The performer observed a boy whose wonderment was clearly discernible on his bright face. Asked the man, "My boy, do you believe that I could put you in this wheelbarrow and push you over the falls?" "Oh, yes," said the boy quickly. "Then get in the wheelbarrow," said the man. Instantly, the boy dashed away. In reality, he did not believe that the tightrope walker could take him safely across the falls. How like many of God's children was the boy. We say we believe in the power of Christ to pilot us safely over life's tempestuous sea, yet we fail at times to utterly commit ourselves into his pierced hands. No doubt even believers tremble at times and have moments of doubt, but our confidence is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, because he hath accomplished the work. But there are those who say they believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross, but they've really not trusted and put their souls into the care of the Savior. And there lies the difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge, between believing all the facts and trusting in the cross work and death of the Lord Jesus. I hope today that you're a believer, a true believer, a real believer, where you can say, yes, I have trusted and do trust and continue to trust in the saving work of the Lord Jesus, and he will one day take my soul to heaven. Stay tuned now for these final announcements. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.